You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 162. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I am Rogue Schindler.
This week, we will talk briefly about the raffle, because that was fun, and then maybe the future of what we're going to do, because that would be fun. And then we have a 1E tournament, and that wasn't fun. Well, no, it was fun.
Aww.
I played very poorly. I did not do very well. And then what have we got coming up in the future? Well, so we'll talk about all that stuff.
Yeah.
How did you have a tournament?
I could have done better. And I was kind of disappointed because I was actually really excited about my deck right up until almost the tournament started, because I had two very distinct ideas of things I wanted to do on either side.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I had spent most of the... I knew for a long time I wanted to do an all TNG theme deck. Like, since TNG came out, I wanted to do Fed TNG, and I just haven't gotten around to it. Just mm-hmm. other things keep coming up. And so I really want to do that. And I wanted to do the TNG dilemmas, because there's so many things you can do now with the downloaders and the Shades of Grey. And, you know, that's an achievement. And I was like, that would be really cool. Just do a, like, pack to the gills, Dyson Sphere. And, you know, I had one dilemma. Actually, until I changed it, I had one dilemma combo that was four dilemmas. And all of them were downloaders, so it was really eight dilemmas.
Wow.
And, you know, just all the stuff. And it just turned out that, because I was like, oh, I can run that with Fed TNG. They don't take a lot of seed cards, so I can kind of pack up on the dilemmas and be good. You know, you get a continuing mission and a finest crew and maybe an AMS and, you know, a couple of things, and you're good to go. And then I was building my deck, and I came across a card that has been kind of neglected, and I don't think I've ever seen anybody use it, and decided that I was going to make it my mission to make this card work in this deck. And I did the math later, and it ended up costing me like 5-6 extra seed cards.
Oh, man.
Just to get it to work. I was like, how hard can this be? This is all stuff I would use anyway, but it's, you know, it's just stuff I wasn't going to use. And so I built both halves and then mashed them together, and I was like, there's like 37 seed cards here. What the hell am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, instead of sacrificing one or the other, I made cuts on both ends, and that was just a horrible idea. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to playing both of them again with other halves.
Okay, that makes sense.
The thing I was trying to do was the, and I did successfully, was the Observe Greatness historical poker game.
Oh, right. So how'd that work out? Were you just cycle through cards?
Yeah, you know, well, it's no secret, certainly in our local area, that I'm a big fan of Processor.
Mm-hmm.
This is a similar mechanic. And it's like, well, you have to have these three hologram guys out and together. But, you know, one of them's a mission specialist, so that's easy. One of them is a support personnel, so that's easy. And then you can get any of them using the actual holoprogram itself. In place of your normal card play, you can download them to wherever the hologram is, holoprogram is. So that's all three of them. You just have to get the holoprogram out. And it seeds on a ship. Seeds or plays on a ship with a holodeck. So I was like trying to seed it. I'm like, well, what ships can I seed? And it's like, there's not a lot of ships that can seed. You know, I was like, oh, Ferengi Trading Post and a Decora, mm-hmm. or I can, you know, I didn't really want any of the missions that had Ferengi on them were not working out for me. So I was like, well, Husnock Outpost and that. So I did that, and, you know, seeded a Husnock, seeded a doorway, and then space-time portal, and picked it up, and played the doorway. You know, the old Krell Maset trick.
Yeah.
For the people who were really desperate to get that out in a place that it didn't work. And use that to download the holo program to my ship. So it was really multi, like, you know, I had to sacrifice. I want to get a ship out anyway, so I would hopefully play the Enterprise or a wall of ships to get the Enterprise. One time I didn't get either, so I had to use my all attention, all hands to get a Nebula.
Okay, yeah.
So that's card play in the first turn. Pick up the doorway, play the holo program. Second turn, get Stephen Hawking, because he's the only one who doesn't download otherwise, you know, from ASP or AMS. And then I have it. So I have it on the first, on the second turn, because it's an order action, not a start of turn, the way Processor is.
So on the second turn, you're cycling a card from hand. You discard a card, you cycle one under, and then you draw a card. Is that right?
Right. Or place it out of play. So if you don't want the card back in your deck, you can pitch it. And I'm doing so many things that I immediately have three cards in my discard pile I don't want. But I also have a Husnock ship in my hand that I don't want, because I didn't have any non-aligns in my deck to fly it. So I pitched that right away and replace it with something. So that was kind of cool. And, you know, get going. And then you can draw two cards if you have data. So then I would immediately try to, rather than really capitalizing on it and spreading out at all of your missions, I would just go to the nearest one or two missions and pitch my Seek Out New Life.
Ah, yes.
To get a species that I don't have in play.
I did.
Like an android. So I would get data that way. Which I thought was kind of clever, but it goes to hand, and it turns out none of the data's play for free.
Right. Well, they're pretty good.
They don't have any USS Enterprise, which, yeah, you know, that's cool. But yeah, I was actually less concerned about it playing for free and more concerned about him not playing to the ship. Because at that point, I'm like, I want to get out and go.
Sure.
And I have to get out and go to go to one of your missions and do that. And then he's in my hand and then he goes back to my outpost. And I have to fly back to be able to use him for my intended purpose. So, you know, in the end, I was pleased that I got it to work and it happened every time. And it was a nice engine. But it was a lot of resources, a lot of resources. So it was cool to have that sort of TNG flavor going.
What I've seen in the non-TNG deck is using the Data Loyal Brother, since you can pitch Quark's rods to get him.
Oh, injured, right? Because he's not any classification.
Right, he's not any classification. So you drop him down and. He'll be stopped, but one, he doesn't care about being stopped, so he'll still be there.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he'll just be a bump on the log, and
yeah, that's still a card. Well, I guess it's a seed card, right?
Right, and it's a seed card, and then he'll
be
a card.
So you still have to play him.
Yep.
So I guess I'd rather use Seek Out New Life, because you can get. I mean, I got Guinan. A couple of times, which is awesome.
You get a couple of missions out there. That's pretty good stuff.
She iced, you know, most of my games, I put my Husnock outpost at your mission.
Ah.
Except for you, specifically, because you're in the Delta Quadrant. But then I could have a dude there, and I could drop a guy off, and then I could fly over. And I was using the equipment replicator to get relays right away, and I had all two span missions. So I was zooming. Once I got going, so I usually got two or three guys, Betazoid or El Orion.
Yes.
Who canceled I Hate You, which was fun.
Yeah, well, I was playing another Fadean deck. I had built one based on something that Josh Sheets played a while ago. And man, I just cannot get anything going with these Vidians. I feel like I should be able to, but I just don't have. Maybe I've got the wrong mix of personnel. I don't have. The Vidian's free report is a medical classification only. So you've got that. You've got home away from home, so you can play non-aligned staff guys to the Equinox once per turn.
Sure.
And a few Okampa. That's what I've got for free plays. And for card draws, I've got just random, you know, surprise party and pieces good for business because there's a few acquisition people in there.
Nice.
Just little things like that. Handshakes are great. especially if you've got a lot of free plays, because, you know, you pitch your hand, then you draw seven cards, and you play a bunch of guys for free. But unfortunately, I just never could get anything together. I got, you move over, you download one, maybe you play one of the triplets and get the other two of those. You've got mission specialists and a security personnel. So you get a lot of people on the first, second, or third turn. You got a big stack of people, but boy, I felt like I ran out of gas real quick. And did you play against Thomas TV?
I did.
All of my people died. I don't know what combos I hit of his. I don't remember. I've blocked them from memory, but he just continually killed all of my people. And I think I started my turn with 9, and you know, it was like the second turn. I had 9 people out. I thought, okay, great, pretty good jump start. And he shredded everyone. There was like one or two guys left to fly the ship around. I hit, was it Medical Crisis? Is that the one that stops a medical personnel?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it kills them if they're VDN. Guess what?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah. We were trying to...
It's fine.
Trying to damper down the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, I just got nothing going. So I think I'm going to have to take this deck apart and rebuild it with just more medical classification people, more staff stars. Because I ended up with just a lot of cards that I wanted to play, and I couldn't.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I played Vidian. I felt like this should be really easy. Everybody always complained about how easy they were and how fast they were, and like I guess just my absolute abhorrence for any Delta Quadrant affiliation has blinded me to how to make them work or watching people play them. You know, because as soon as I sat down across from a Delta Quadrant, I was like, ah, all right, whatever. Do your thing. I'm going to lose. Just let's get it over with. And so I really just am not privy to the little subtleties of all the mechanics. And I don't know. I guess we just didn't play enough Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, I guess so. I should go back and look at one of Johnny's old Chakotay decks.
Yeah, he had that running like a well-oiled machine. There was a while where that was basically all we saw, because we only had 1E tournaments like every 3 months, and it wasn't worth taking a deck apart and putting it back together.
Yeah, I just remember a lot of Vidian cruisers and a lot of just easy missions, so I'll have to go back and look. I think we played 4 rounds. I think half of my opponents had You Are a Monument or threatened, or threatening it, whether or not they actually had it or not, who knows. But I think I solved 4 of my missions against Charlie, but I was planning to do 140 points, and so I just cleared 100, and he said, "Yep, you win." I said, "No, I only did 4 planet missions. I didn't do a space mission."
Oh no!
I kind of miscalculated there. Yeah, I'm just a poor player. So I'm looking for some advice on how to play the Vidians properly. The deck design was 3 big 40-point missions, 45-point missions that can be solved by, like, one person.
I was really intimidated looking at your missions, because I was like, oh, my God, there's, like, well, I don't know what combo to put where, because they're all gigantic, and you can all solve them really easily, which was always the problem with Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, Milana, Darapel, or Think Tank personnel solved 3 of my missions for, you know, 150 points, or 130 points. And then there was a couple of point gainer here things in there, but I just couldn't make it happen. So looking for advice.
Yeah, you know, I've been having a similar problem with Herogen are the last of my list. I've been for a long time. They've been the last thing I need to do. Can't play that in 2E, that 5 cycle achievement. Mm-hmm. And I just every time I look at them, I'm just baffled. I'm like, I don't know what this mechanic is. I don't know. I mean, right. I know I need alphas. I remember always taking alphas out of my trade binder and keeping them, no matter how many I had extra, because I remember that was like, okay, well, you know, and there was also Spatial Scission at the time, but
sure, yeah,
it was like, okay, I got to keep all my mains and I keep all my alphas so I can get them out and play for free. And I guess I've seen people play mechanics where you can come to the Alpha Quadrant, I guess play to your ship or something, but it's just foreign language to me. I just need to sit down with somebody's deck who's done decently well with it and pick it apart.
Go through test draws, maybe test plays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I seem to recall using a card to, you know, gain skills and from your opponent's plays. I don't remember what the free plays were, though. Boy, it's just been so long since any of us have played Delta Quadrant stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just because, I don't know, if we just shunned it.
It was such a pain. And, you know, it was, we sort of universally accepted that it was way overpowered. And there was no point in playing Alpha Quadrant. You know, if we're going to play Delta Quadrant, we should just have a Delta Quadrant tournament.
Right.
Because then everybody's on relatively even footing. You know, the power level is the same. But otherwise, I mean, before OTF, when we had the RBQ door,
mm-hmm.
or Arby's door.
That's right.
Delta Quadrant mission, so you just couldn't play it. And so then I think with that as our local meta, it sort of fell out of practice.
Yeah, certainly.
Even more so.
All right. Well, yeah. So I know what I ought to do. I know Jordan used to play a lot of Delta Quadrant stuff. I wonder if I want his decks.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
I'm going to go search for some of the names I remember from the past. Hey, you know what I did? I signed up for an online tournament. I haven't played in one in a long time.
Hey, good. What are you playing?
It's the traditional 1E.
Ooh, traditional, so no virtual cards. Oh, man.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that would break my brain at this point.
I know.
Oh, man, no Tribunal of Q, no... So what is
exactly.
It? Is it traditional? Well, no, traditional is different than OTF. No, traditional is card pool.
So we're playing OTF.
Okay.
But you can only play with cards that were physically printed by Denver. So, no... I mean, I think you could... If we sat down across the table and I was playing with an AI print of something, I think it'd be fine, as long as it was a card that was originally produced by Decipher only.
Right.
So no virtual card sets, no VP, nothing.
What about things that were errated?
Errata's are in effect. Bans are in effect.
So backwards compatible cards are printed by Decipher.
Correct. So you can use backwards compatible cards. Anything from 2E.
Interesting.
As long as it hasn't been converted.
Right. Wait, but converted cards are virtual. So why would that matter? Is that considered an errata?
Right. I could be wrong. My game's not till Saturday. my deck. I believe you can play any 1E card that hasn't been converted. You can play any Decipher original, you know, premiere through all good things. And so it's just kind of like reset back to, you know, before the continuing committee was around.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you're getting into that. I kind of stopped looking because I was so busy over the summer and I lost the habit of checking when those would start up. I should go back and do that.
Yeah, it's been so long since I played online. I've got to make sure I have Lackey downloaded properly and all the...
updated.
Exactly.
Well, cool. You will have to give us an update on how that goes, you know, without revealing too much about your deck.
Oh, my opponent is the person we talked to a couple of weeks ago, Daniel Madison.
Oh, cool.
So we're playing on Saturday night. Excellent. Should be good.
Well, that is was a great... you know, intro, or I guess not intro, celebration to prepare for Engage. Did you have any moments during your games where you were like, yep, wish I had that card right now?
Since I was playing Vidian, not many. But all the other decks that I was thinking about was, oh, no, can't play that yet. No, can't play that yet. No, can't play Kazon Voyager here. Can't play. They will be coming. Yeah, there was a lot of that. And I know that other folks have made release tournaments, you know, a special rule. You can play cards from the sets released that day. I know it used to be the only way you could do that was to play a sealed event.
Right.
But, you know, local people can do whatever they want. So maybe we'll try that out next time. That way we're not staring at the cards and thinking, well, new cards are out. Can't use them over here.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird because, you know, some people are like, okay, I've seen, you know, they come out on midnight.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a West Coast, it's 9 o'clock Thursday night. 1E takes so long to really build, you know, to watch all the mechanics fit together and really have a finely honed deck. If you don't really see half the cards until Friday, and you know, unless
that is
you
true.
Have some kind of inside track. That just, man, to go and, I mean, certainly there are cards that, you know, you could just toss in on a whim, but some of the things, like, you're not going to, I can't imagine trying to build a Romulan TNG deck, you know.
No, that'd be a little rough, especially, well, you'd have a day.
I was
pretty
like,
much have a day.
If you have nothing else to do that Friday.
Yeah.
And you could sit down and plan it all out, you know, then yeah. And you'd
but
have
really,
that.
I don't think I would put a deck based on, you know, cards I haven't seen yet, which would be, you know, you have to assume that there's going to be some missing Romulan cards that, you know, aren't shown until the last day.
Right.
But with a single card like the Kazon Voyager or the Borg, you know,
oh, sure.
Alpha
Quadrant
only, that you could totally do. Or a couple of the dilemmas, you know, those are easy to sneak in into a combo or something.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm actually excited about playing Kazon again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's going to be fun.
I really wish I had had Federation Flagship Save My Ass.
Yeah.
What's it called? Regenerated? Recrashed? Rejected? Respawned? Federation Flagship Respawned. That's what it should be.
Were you, your last shift road at some point during the weekend?
I don't know why I thought I would be perfectly safe only 5 span away from my outpost and shields of, you know, 17. You know, I was like, well, you know, even if he can damage me, he's not going to take me out and I can cruise back and start repairing. But no, I guess not. Thomas came over with his 4 ships and 3 matching commanders, which I didn't even know had for those ships, and I just ventured a little too close to the sort of unofficial line we had drawn in the in the space line, and I was so mad because I had almost played James T. Kirk that turn, and I was like, well, I have mission specialist for all these skills, so having him, you know, he would have to contribute a skill to score 5 points, so it wouldn't really matter, and I'd have to spend all my range to go back and pick him up and come back, but if I'd done that, I could have special downloaded my captain's log, and I totally would have survived. But you know, it was like, that's kind of the downside of the whole, we are the Enterprise, and we're awesome, and we're going to boldly attempt missions and get blown away.
Well, so, tell me, I mean, you had a lot of ships in that deck, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I didn't really play a lot of them. You know, 2 of them were Enterprises. And then I had a backup, you know, I had Enterprise C and a Pasture and a Nebula. And I threw in the Pegasus because I thought it would be funny if I drew into it to download the phase cloaking device.
Sure.
But that was way more ships than I really probably needed. I almost always drew into a wall of ships or an Enterprise, and I went that route. And then, you know, I was spending my card plays on other things. So I, you know, until I.
So did you, would you, so the reason I asked if you had a lot of ships is that only works if you only have one ship out.
And I only had one ship out at the time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So with that many ships and a plan of not just being just one ship, would you have seeded that card?
Oh yeah. Especially, I mean, if I know I'm going to be, you know, if my whole deck is Enterprise-centric, and, you know, going to be, I wanted to get the holoprogram on the Enterprise, and I had a wall of ships, and everybody plays for free to the Enterprise. I mean, everything else was just backup.
Okay. So you would have thrown a Yamato or something in there?
So I had a, you know, yeah, well, I had an Enterprise C.
That's got to be the same class.
Oh, is it same class? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Or any other Enterprise. That's
yeah,
right.
I was going to say, I thought it said other Enterprise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Enterprise C. I almost put Yamato in, but I took it out for the Pegasus. But yeah, I mean, I, you know, if I knew I was going to play that card, I would have made sure I had something.
Yeah, I don't think I would have put it in my deck. I mean, I had a couple of... actually, I don't know if the Vidians can do it anyway, because I don't think they have enough different ships. But, like, a Klingon Solver deck or a Ferengi Solver deck with maybe a little bit of battle. And even the Fed deck that I've been playing, I don't think I would seed it, because if I... You know, my game plan is not to just have one ship running around. I'd want to have multiple ships, even if it's just a couple of shuttlecraft running around.
Yeah. I always had one on hand. You know, yeah. Like Charlie slapped me with a Cytherians, which would have been okay if I guess I was not aware that it takes effect immediately if you have, or that you're stopped, even though it tells you to go do stuff immediately.
Oh, right. Like when the mission attempt ends with mission debriefing.
Mission debriefing. Yes. But, you know, I had 15 range. So I was like, all right, most of the space line, and then come halfway back, and then I dropped the Pasteur to go pick up my people and come back and solve my empty mission. Mm-hmm. But it still wasn't fast enough because of freaking Broken Guard in the zone.
Oh, yes. There was a lot of in the zoning people this weekend.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, I don't know why you should be punished for completing the objective of the game. I understand why it came into be when it was created. It was largely bonus points oriented, and I know for a while when we were in the mysterious, you know, pre-OTF, everybody doing their own thing, Jeremy had an errata of it that was, you know, mission, except for mission points. So it was any other points over 50. Didn't matter. But, you know, completing missions, that's the point of the game.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember. I don't remember what the point of it was back when it came out. I don't remember what big bonus point missions, bonus point strategies were out there. Was it Borg hunting or something? Borg ship hunting?
I could certainly see that being one of them. Although they had other anti-Borg ship hunting things by then. You know, you can't score. Was it writ of accountability?
Sure.
But there was just so much of it.
Well, it came out at... I guess it didn't come out until Holodeck Adventures, so it was toward the end of the game.
Yeah, and, you know, Holodeck Adventures is kind of notorious for being poorly playtested? Is that good?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Overpowered? A little under...
Maybe overboard in some places.
Yeah, a little overboard. It was just, I don't know, it kind of felt like, there's this problem, well, let's slop the solution on it, let's move on.
All right.
Anyway, you know, this is old news, you know.
Yeah.
But it is, you know, it's a common problem, I think. It happened in almost every game. It's like, well, I can't solve this mission even though I'm solving this mission because I'm going to get in the zone.
Yeah, well, congrats to Matt Kirk for playing the Paw and Ferengi at the same time, it looks like. He was the one person I didn't play. I played Johnny, Charlie, Rogue, and Thomas, but I didn't play him.
I played him, but it's from the sound of it, his primary shtick did not come to fruition until very late, so I didn't actually see it affect me. But I, from what I gather, he was saying he picked up an extra trick to the Ferengi fighting deck of... using the paw, I think he was saying I got it from Ben Hosp. That you know, throwing the paw in doesn't require a facility. Or you could play it to the trading post. You can download
sure,
the
because,
paw.
Yeah.
You can download people that play to the paw because of attention to hold hands, and you know, get enough to staff it on its own, so you don't have to worry about a treaty or anything like that, and get. Non-aligned Daemon Bach.
Right, from Premiere.
Yes, because whatever the Ferengi objective card is, it doesn't say Ferengi Daemon, it just says Daemon. So you can use him on the paw to go and attack people. I'm going to not put a tactic on you, so I score 5 points. I've got a daemon, so I score 5 points, and just kind of go crazy.
Wow. Well, yeah, okay. Huh.
Yeah.
That means he can't use his other box, though, right? The other box's pretty good.
True. But, you know, this one is doubling your battling score every turn, so...
Yeah.
You know, but you could conceivably do one less mission or get away with, you know, not having to lose 13 points to a Hire the Fewer like I did.
Yeah. All right, well, Matt's deck is posted under his name. It's called Super Paw, and Paw stands for Political Action Group Hug. So there you go. yeah. We've got a 2E tournament in 2 weeks, is that right?
That is correct. 2E on the I want to say like the 17th. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Something like that.
And then we have
Thanksgiving,
and then I think it's like December, first weekend of December is 1E again.
All right. Just checking to see. This is not a...
The 1st of December.
This isn't a league tournament. But I think the Tribbles might be. Yeah, the Tribbles that night is league.
Ooh.
All right.
League Tribbles.
Anyway. Okay. What else do we have? You were around for the raffle. That
you hosted a big event yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
Congrats to everyone who win. I've got a big pile of prizes to box up and mail off to everyone.
I said it as a joke at the end, but I was really tempted to just drive up and pick up my prizes.
I was wondering if you were really going to do that or not.
I meant to email you and say, I was just kidding, FYI. And then it was like 2 hours later when I remembered I hadn't emailed you. And I was like, I'm sure he's figured it out by now.
Yeah. But no, it was a good time. The technology worked really well. We'll definitely look into that again. The next time we do, there was a continuing committee roundtable. I think it was about 1 year a while back, and it was me and Charlie and Alan, and maybe Jordan was there. I don't remember. But this would work really well for us to have someone host it, and then everyone's face can pop up, and then it gets posted automatically to YouTube later on.
Yeah,
that really well.
That would be cool. A little FaceTime.
We got people in the chat room who can, you know, give us feedback about what we're talking about. I almost want to try this for Section 31, but we don't quite have all the technology in place for it yet. So we'll keep working on that.
Yet. Well, you know, it's an abandoned relay station. What do you want?
Spare parts.
We'll have to find another abandoned relay station and, you know, find our MPOC NOR to have some issues and scavenge some parts and you know, two abandoned relay stations could probably make one functional relay station.
Very good. So thanks for everyone who came out on a Sunday or a Monday morning if you're Iron Mike there.
Yeah, seriously.
And taking part. That was fun.
And that was cool. It was cool to see, you know, people from all over, you know, chiming in, even if it was just on chat to come and participate and you know, peanut gallery.
Yeah.
As it were. So.
Yeah, and with Corbin and Mike there, it didn't feel like I was just, you know, all by myself talking. You know, I got
that
people
was,
to point to. And
that was really effective, and you kind of had a back and forth, somebody, you know, live, and having, like, Corbin check the chat room and let you know so you didn't, you know, have to keep checking on it or stop and go back, and he could let you know if there were questions.
That was really great.
You know, Charlie making his rulings on high. Charlie says, redraw!
Yeah, that was good stuff. So, there will be... I'm sure we'll do this again. However, whatever format the raffle is at the beginning of next year, we'll be doing that again. So that's awesome.
And if anybody got the Chain of Command Defiant and wants a Chains of Command Shinzon, they should... PM me.
Is that one of the ones you were after?
Yeah, that Defiant is like the, as you said on the raffle, that's like the prettiest card in the game. It's so cool.
I got an email from Killer Bee. It was funny. Killer Bee won a Oni card, and I jumped in the chat room today, and someone said that they had already traded him the card because they won a 2-week card, and they wanted me to just mail the 2-week card to one person and 1-week card to the other person. So,
nice.
Yeah, I'll make that happen. That was fun.
Yeah, that's
very good.
I was excited. It was funny, kind of cheering in the chat room for, oh, I want this, and people like, no, I want that, or you should get this, or 1E cards. I love that that's going to be a thing in the next raffle, that you can, you know, go and say, I really want this card, I'm putting all my tickets in this bag, or whatnot, and or, you know, I don't play 2E, I don't play 1E, you know, you can enter for the things you want. So,
and if nothing else, as the person who's picking things out of the warehouse to put in the raffle, you know, if we see something that gets, that wasn't expected, that gets a lot of tickets, you know, that will be in a direction to go next time, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
No one puts any tickets in for the bag of 13 different buttons. Maybe we won't do that next time. But I think that'll go well.
Yeah. And I was excited to win the, you know, the thing I really wanted, which was the World's Foils.
Oh, yeah. Congrats on that.
From the side, the Chairman's Challenge World Sides events around the world. That was pretty cool. I was excited to see that. I literally popped in the chat room and Charlie was like, congratulations to all the Chairman's Challenge winners. It's like, we started already?
Yeah, that was good.
That was super cool. And congratulations to all the winners out there. And thanks for playing, because if you're getting tickets and in the raffle, it means you're playing.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, you know, we should just randomly do all of our prizes like that. Just jump on. Me, a couple people, you know, just, even if it's just 10 minutes of just us chatting about things, and then just a weekly Google Hangout with continuing commit members.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
A week, or maybe monthly.
Monthly sounds better.
Yeah.
And a lot less work.
Yeah, monthly sounds like less work and more things to talk about. We're going to have to suggest that to somebody else who is not us to organize.
Agreed. Very good. I've got 3 Section 31 Sloan foils that we have to sign and send out.
Oh, my God. They really want us to deface those?
Yeah, and I've got the ones that the card you won. So remind me, and I'll make sure we do that next time we're in the same place at the same time.
Fantastic.
All right.
All right, well, that sounds like a lot of intelligence for one show. It's been, I know, a long time since you guys have heard a lot of information from us, so hopefully this will be a new show and a new trend, something exciting for you all to hear lots of information from us. Go out and cut up your energized cards and get ready to play those in your next 1E event if you didn't get to play them this weekend. In the meantime, I'll give a shout-out to Warp 11 for their awesome theme song, and remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I'm Sir Dan.
I'm going to skip that part, because people know if they're listening to us at this point, I feel like they know I'm Sir Rogue. They know you're Sir Dan.
And I'll draw to end.
You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 3.